This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 670 The Score, Dan Bernstein with you, 9 to noon, Monday through Friday, live and local on Sports Radio 670. And now these are tough times for a lot of people. Any of us who have kids that would be participating in sports, maybe it's travel baseball, maybe it's spring soccer, whatever it might be, all of a sudden there are no seasons. Even college athletes with professional prospects who are getting ready for their years now don't have that opportunity, and it creates some difficulty and some anxious moments. And here to help us deal with it, or maybe to help you as a parent talk to your child about it, we are joined by mental performance coach Audrey Grunst, who is a licensed clinical social worker. She is with us in the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Audrey. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
I'm good. The ebook that's coming out is called Four Ways to Cope When the Game is Done. And I have to tell you that it's been just here at home. You know, my son's a freshman in high school, and he makes his high school baseball team. And days later, after all that excitement and all that hard work, there's no season. And I'm experiencing some of this stuff secondhand right here, just watching it and reading some of what you wrote. It's really very helpful. What do you think are the most important things that a young athlete should know, or a parent should know, about how to handle the reality of these emotions?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Oftentimes, athletes are trained to focus on being really positive and not letting the negative emotions show. That athletes are supposed to act like what I call to be a captain, which is always having that smile and that pep talk and always having that optimism. But at times like this, it's actually important to let the more negative emotions like sadness or despair or anger show up and let that be the forefront of conversations that we're having with athletes, and tell them that it's okay to take off that captain's hat and let them be human and let them be kids and show them that it's okay to be vulnerable and have some really difficult feelings. I mean, like what your son is probably going through is just this hope and these dreams about their season, and then it just drops into despair. And that's a very hard experience to go from such a high to such a low for these young minds. It might be their first loss, and it might be their first tragedy. And this is something that we have to help them navigate through.
You use a term that is evocative. You call it ambiguous grief. And the term grief doesn't necessarily diminish the idea that we're not talking about an actual death here, even amid actual death. But the idea of losing a sports season, it is its own loss for young people. And there is this feeling of something lost. And as you write, the tools for dealing with that grief are similar to actual loss.
Yeah, the sense of loss that they're experiencing right now is even more difficult than death because it's intangible. It's this experience that they can't concretely put their hand on something that says this is no longer here. And having an ambiguous loss for young minds is difficult because we're asking them to think in this gray area. And grief in the traditional sense is very black and white, and kids are good at thinking in black and white. And by kids, I mean anyone really who's at the younger age, even 25 and under, their brains are still trying to process flexible thinking, and to grieve and to go through these steps takes a lot of flexible thinking and saying, okay, I don't quite understand what I'm grieving because I don't know what's going on right now. And how am I going to process that? And that's why we need parents and coaches to step in and give them words and labels to what they're grieving. And this is something that's happening right now with COVID-19, but this is applicable to athletes who have been injured. And that's what I went through when I was a student athlete at Loyola. I played for 2 years, and then in the matter of an hour, I was told that I needed to take a medical release. And it took me years to overcome that loss. And I didn't have the fortunate experience to know that this was ambiguous grief. But if I had known that, I think I would have been able to process it faster. And so that's really where I'm coming from today, is helping athletes cope with ambiguous grief. And I've been doing that with injured athletes, but now it's a COVID-19, and now it's similar and yet different at the same time.
Athletes also, especially rigidly coached athletes, have a way of thinking about their world, of conquering the next thing, of having that athlete's flow chart of I've accomplished this and now this, or the next game, or the next practice. How does an athlete reprogram his or her mind? And how does a parent help a young athlete, help them to be more mindful of more flexible thinking and thinking more about growth in ways that they wouldn't otherwise?
Yeah, that's a great question. So coaches do have a plan for the athlete's physical skills and techniques and what's ahead. Now is an opportunity to think about the mental skills and teaching them what's ahead using a growth mindset, which is in the ebook on our website at simplybecounseling.net, where you can learn what a growth mindset is and using mental skills right now in this opportunity while we're home rather than the physical skills. Because if we think, how is this an opportunity to learn? How is this an opportunity to grow? We're able to move forward rather than getting fixated on what we don't have and what's not going well. And a growth mindset is something that we teach in schools, and it's an academic approach for teachers. And we can apply that to athletes so that they're feeling like they know that they're having difficult thoughts, and those difficult thoughts are something that they can tolerate, something that they can sit through, they can process and talk about it, and then they can feel better because they've talked about it. And focusing on what's next isn't necessarily what's the next big award or what's the next big tournament, but what's next is, what is my next positive thought? What is my next thought that I can say, I'm going to be okay, this is going to be okay, and letting this be an opportunity of being uncertain. And there's uncertainty in sports all the time. Athletes aren't unfamiliar with uncertainty. They're used to it on the court. What we're trying to do now is provide them uncertainty in their mind and in life and just transfer those skills over. So the good thing is athletes already have this capability. It's just they typically have it on the court, and now we're trying to transfer it to off the court.
Our guest on Sports Radio 670 The Score is Audrey Grunst. She is the author of an ebook, 4 Ways to Cope When the Game is Done. And the ebook is wonderful because it also has open spaces in it for the athlete to fill in with notes and journaling and understanding of themselves and participating in the process a bit. What would you say for a younger kid? What would you say for somebody, you know, a 9 or 10 year old who is getting ready for her softball season or the baseball season that becomes this outsized thing, maybe not a scholarship level athlete competing, but for the kids, it's their whole world and it can be their whole summer. And to have it interrupted, what's a way to speak on their level from a parent's perspective?
Yeah. The first thing that I tell parents is to take care of yourself first. If you struggle to see your kid in pain, you're likely going to try to make them feel better. And we're not trying to make them feel better. We're trying to make them feel the experience so that they can cope with it. So as a parent, the first thing that you do is you don't try to take the pain away from your kid. You don't try to reassure them and make them feel better and good. What you do is you help them process by asking open-ended questions. What is this like for you? How are you feeling right now? What were you hoping for? What are you disappointed about? And letting them process and talk things through is more helpful than trying to give them a pep talk and telling them to focus on the positive, because you're diminishing their experience or their feelings. And what we want the parent to do is validate the feelings and let them know that this is real, and let them figure out their own process by asking open-ended questions is really the best thing that we could do, because reassuring a young person is a short-term fix, but long-term, they're not going to learn how to reassure themselves internally. So we ask those open-ended questions so that inside they can start to talk to themselves and they can internalize the questions that you're asking and they can create that self-talk so that you're not just talking for them and you're not reassuring them and just giving them a quick little fix. And parents do that often because they love their kids, but it's not the long-term strategy we want to grow a successful human and beyond.
How do you handle the athlete looking for a sublimation of their competitive tension? You know, I've seen it so many times, and it really is almost a cliched story about the athlete who retires and then has nowhere to go with the competitiveness and then starts gambling multi-thousand-dollar blackjack hands or decides to give money to a competitive motocross team. And I'm just talking about Michael Jordan alone right here. There's any number of places where people have to somehow scratch that itch. I'm noticing it a little bit with video games, at least just from an anecdotal level. There's a lot of 15-year-old boys that are plowing themselves back into the teamwork of the squad stuff on Fortnite and getting some of that teamwork and some of the ability to have won something. Is there a way to do that's more healthy than other ways? And again, how do we parent through some of that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the reality is sports and athletics is therapeutic for kids. It gives an outlet to express themselves, their anger, and then they don't have that. And so it's really fair for people, including Michael Jordan, to seek out other places to find that outlet. And there's a time and a place to seek outward activity and try to find that stimulation. But there's also a time to notice that the sport was therapeutic for them and that maybe they need to actually go seek therapeutic services, to go see a counselor. Because going from external pressures or external validations is great, and I talk about that in the ebook, but if we're not able to internally stimulate ourselves and internally process through what we're going through, we are going to continue to seek external pressures or external experiences to give us that emotional high or that release. And that's why I tell people constantly that are in sports that seeking out counseling is one of the best things that you can do for your mental game and also for your health and your wellness, because if you don't, you become anxious and depressed. And I went through my own mental health journey as an athlete that brought me to being a counselor and a therapist now for athletes. But that's because we are lacking mental health support in athletes. And now is a perfect opportunity to say, hey, let's go talk to someone and let's find that therapeutic outlet, maybe not in a sport right now, but with a professional. And the ebook is a great place to start if someone wanted to jump in and kind of understand how a therapist might communicate or support an athlete. There are specific models that you can use with an athlete in therapy that applies to their unique circumstances that may not be as useful to the general public. So therapists can tailor their interventions to help an athlete specifically.
And we are tweeting the link to that ebook and will be tweeting the link to the ebook out so everybody can have an opportunity to get a look at it. And that is going to be at Bernstein670 on Twitter, where that link will be included. Our guest right now is Audrey Gruntz, the mental performance coach. We've talked a lot about the mental side, obviously, but there is a physical aspect to the mental well-being as well, especially with so much downtime. And it's very easy to start slipping into, I don't want to use the term laziness, but sort of almost a dormancy for an athlete that has so much physical arousal. Any tips on how to maintain a little bit of that, the physical edge that will allow for better mental health?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's this technique that is really fun to talk to athletes about because it sounds simple and silly, but it's very true. So if you think about when you're playing video games or when you're on your phone in your bed, you're looking at your phone and you're probably horizontal. So I tell people, get vertical. Get out of bed, get off the couch, go take a shower. Honestly, showers are really important right now. We have less motivation or reason to get up and shower, but it's good for our mental health. So going horizontal to vertical will get you momentum and get your body moving and getting you closer to getting outside, going for that walk. So just take little steps, but going from horizontal to vertical, to the shower, to making a sandwich, to getting a glass of water, to getting outside, it's these micro movements that's going to build up momentum to get you to the place that you want to be. Maybe you eventually will go for that run. But not trying to go from horizontal to the run. That is too much of a leap. You have to break them down into mini steps. And for little kids, you can even create a chart. So if you're talking about kids who are maybe like 10 or under, you can create a chart that just sort of coaches them through it. If you're with a teenager, maybe you could model it and be an example to them and show them how you're doing it. But a quick little tip is to go from horizontal to vertical.
You also talked about the bracing cold temperature, that the idea, as long as you still have some of these mornings that are a bit brisk, that there is something valuable, there's something to be said about getting that bracing breath of air outside.
Yes. So luckily the temperature in Chicago right now is perfect. If you were to get up and go outside and stand outside for a minimum of 3 minutes, you will increase your mood and you will have more energy to start your day. And this is actually a challenge that we're doing here at Simply Be Counseling with our team of 15. Every morning we are texting each other and we have a competition here. So we have the ducks and we have the squirrels, and our team is split into two, and we compete for who spent the most time outside in the cold in their shorts and T-shirt. And then we also have a challenge for how many minutes people are moving. So we have some competition here at Simply Be. It's really fun, but we all start our morning out in the cold, and it's been really fun to see the benefits of it.
This has been really helpful stuff, Audrey. Appreciate it. And if people want the link to the ebook, they can either go to my personal Twitter account at Dan_Bernstein, or they can go to the show account if they want to check that out, which is at Bernstein670. This is really helpful stuff, and I think it's going to make for some happier kids. So we really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thank you for having me.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.